There's a hawk, rather large hawk, that's been patrolling the park for a while now. I saw him yesterday swooping down trying to get a squirrel off a tree.
It turned its head toward me, and I saw its red eyes flashing in the light.
And about 2 months ago, I found a long-eared owl in my backyard.
My first flock I saw today was a big, noisy flock of grackles, which I despise. They were very active and chattering like women at a cocktail party.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer, and now the Bird Week finale. All week we've been asking you to participate in our WNYC New York Times collaboration to produce an interactive map of the best spots for bird watching in New York City. Go to WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show, and you will see a link to the map. Almost 500 people have participated, and many of you have recorded stories about your bird watching. So right now we're going to go through some of the submissions and play some of your stories on the air with WNYC digital editor Jim Colgan, and we'll talk about birding and why you should do it with bird expert Tom Stevenson, who was on earlier this week to help us launch this project. But first, I'm getting word that we have hawk-related breaking news. I guess an egg is breaking. A story happening right now at NYU. Emily Rube, senior producer at the Metro desk of the New York Times. She's there down at NYU right now, and the Times actually set up a live hawk cam, which has been trained steadily on a nest of Violet and Bobby. They're two red-tailed hawks down at NYU. And Emily, am I hearing correctly? Do we have a baby hawk?
We not only have one baby hawk, we have two baby hawks.
Oh, my
goodness. Violet has been sitting on three eggs, and two of them have hatched.
Oh, my goodness. Now, what is the scene like? What is the mood where you are?
I am actually huddled behind several large picture frames and diplomas in John Sexton's office at NYU because I don't want to disturb the birds. And Bobby has been in earlier, and he can detect us behind the scenes here, so we're trying to lay low.
Bobby being the daddy hawk.
Correct. But Violet is very calm, and she is, shifting around left and right because obviously there are vibrations and movement underneath her.
It's so exciting. And can you explain why this is so captivating for people? I mean, there are thousands of people watching this hawk cam. What's the big deal? Is it that Violet and Bobby have accomplished what Pale Male and Lola never could?
Oh, well, Pale Male and Lola are their own story, but this is the next generation of hawks, who also picked a very tony location for their nest, perched outside of NYU's Bob's Library on the 12th floor overlooking Washington Square Park. The view doesn't get any better. But also, I think people are just really fascinated to see wildlife in New York City. It's also very exciting to see it unfold before your eyes on your desktop computer or your iPad or your iPhone.
And just in time for Mother's Day.
I know.
Couldn't resist.
I think she timed it.
She did. And let me turn now to Jim and talk about this interactive map. It's amazing how many submissions there are. How many did we get?
We got hundreds. I don't know the exact total now because they're still coming in this morning. Yeah.
What's the map like? You know, describe it for us.
Okay, so you can go and see it right now at WNYC.org on the Brian Lehrer Show page. And so it's a map of New York City, and you can expand out and see more. And it has place markers. And those place markers represent all the locations where people told us their favorite bird watching spots. So when you click on the marker, you can see what the location is, obviously, what the last bird that person said they saw. And a lot of people, as you said, also called and left in messages about the bird that they saw and told a bit of a story. And you can actually get that audio right from the map, too. So that's all there. And you can see, you know, if it's in your neighborhood or if it's anywhere else, you can check that out.
Now, there are some little bits, some little examples. Are you going to walk us through some of them so we can get a little sampling of these bird watching maniacs?
Well, it's kind of amazing. And as we've been talking about, you know,
Excuse me.
there's one in the room. Sorry. there, You know, we're obviously seeing how interested people are in this urban wildlife by the 5,000 or so people watching this live web camera right now. Of, you know, it sounds like we're talking about celebrities with these two Red Tail Talks. And so we tapped into that when people told us, you know, the birds they've seen. And so I'm going to play a tape here. This is Dennis with a spot he sent in from Brooklyn.
My bird watching spot is Fort Greene Park. There's a hawk, rather large hawk, been patrolling the park for a while now. I saw him yesterday swooping down and trying to get a squirrel off a tree. He also swoops down on small dogs. Anyone with a small Yorkie in Fort Greene Park, beware.
And so he was saying beware at dog owners, but Tom told me that there's a little tension actually when it comes to parks and birders, bird fans and dog fans. So maybe Tom can respond to that.
Well, okay, I want to hear about the tension, but first, before you get to the tension, or maybe you can fold this into your answer, why is this so much fun? I mean, look, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big birder. I'm not a birder at all. But I see you people out there staring up all the time. And you look so happy, and I want to understand why. What's so exciting about this? Although I have to say the baby hawks excite me. That's cool.
You're still young. There's still time for you. Well, birding is actually a really, really great experience. It allows you to take time to learn how to see better, learn how to hear more things as you walk around your environment. I mean, it's a lot like learning about art or learning about architecture or so on, but part of it is just the sense of wonder too. All your senses are focused, and you're really looking, and then all of a sudden, this magnificent Blackburnian warbler pops up with this brilliant orange, and you're just really excited by that. And you can see the coloring in the feathers and so on, or you hear a song of a bird you haven't heard in like a year, and it's just very exciting.
And you can hear it in the voices of the people who participated in the MAP project, right?
Yeah, Dennis there in Fort Greene.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. There doesn't have to be this tension that Dennis talks about, does there, Tom? Do you think there needs to be, or can we get past that?
Yeah, we can definitely get past that. The tension is mostly in the cities where there are limited green spaces, and the birds need those spaces to feed and fuel themselves to get up to their nesting grounds. And there are lots of laws in place to make sure that dogs don't disrupt their journey. And some dog owners tend to let their dogs run wild. And
but not any of our listeners.
Not any. No, definitely not WNYC listeners.
So sure. Jim, do you have any other of our avid birders participated?
I'll give you a bit of a roundup. We had if you also see on WNYC.org on the Brian Lehrer Show page, you can see we have a representation of the most popular birds that people mentioned, and I think cardinal was probably the most, then robin. There were a lot of red-tailed hawks too, but they weren't only exotic birds, as you hear here from Valerie, who sent this in.
I love Washington mews in Greenwich Village. Recently I saw a pigeon that stopped me dead in my tracks. It turned out to be an albino pigeon, all white, turned its head toward me, and I saw its red eyes.
That sounds scary.
So that sounded like an enthusiastic birder with a little bit of excitement in her birding experience. Tom, you're also a sound engineer, and you're developing a method for bird sound identification. So I don't really get that. Does that mean you want to record a sound on your smartphone and create some sort of app?
Well, that would be a great goal. And actually, there are people at Cornell and other areas that are working on doing that. There's a lot of data being collected by birds flying overhead at night, migrating, and they're capturing these sounds and trying to find ways of identifying them using a computer. For my system, I'm really just trying to help people feel more comfortable identifying the things they're hearing around them. And a lot of people are a little nervous about, well, can I really learn all these songs? And actually they can. And so I've developed a system that involves analyzing the songs in an easy way and so on that for that purpose.
Does anybody know why it's Bird Week? Do you know?
Well, it's Emily is running, as she was talking there, for the New York Times. It's Bird Week all week at City Room in the New York Times because it's the peak migration season, is my understanding.
There's a scientific reason.
There is a scientific
reason. Emily,
I
understand you're still with us. I'm tight on time, but I do want to know whether there's anything else exciting going on at the New York Times for Bird Week.
Oh, earlier this week we had Mike Tyson write a very lovely essay on his defense of the pigeon.
Mike Tyson, yes. The fighter?
That is right. He is a pigeon rearer and has a very, very, very touching story about his love for those birds. We have also a lovely story by David Dunlap on an eagle that used to be on Penn Station that was about to be sent to the dump, that was recuperated, rescued, and is now up in Poughkeepsie and is going to make its return to the New York Transit Museum. We have top 10 most wanted, the most wanted
lots going
birds.
On.
Lots going on, and
Jim,
it will all continue today. And,
Jim,
and user-submitted photos of urban bird habitats as well.
Jim's dying to get in there. Go
just
ahead, Jim.
Just to say
you
that you can
thought.
Still text in your bird watching location by texting the word bird to 30644. That's the word bird to 30644, or just going to our website. You can do it right from the map.
See, bird news you can use.
That's
it's,
right.
It's all right there for you. All right. Well, I want to thank you all. Emily, we're all very envious of you there at NYU. You get to be on the site of those two new little bird lives, those two hawks. And we're here in the studio. Thank you all for joining me. I'm Jamie Floyd. I want to say thanks to our Bird Week team. I know Brian's envious that I'm here today with the three of you, but I'm so thrilled that I was able to be Jim Colgan from WNYC, bird expert Tom Stevenson, and Emily Rube of the New York Times on the scene with the hawk cam. And I'll be back again on Monday filling in for Ryan. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the glorious spring weather and keep your eye out for the birds. Sing those wandering blues, and I'm gonna quit these rambling ways one of these days soon. I'll sing the littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. 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 The littlest birds.